Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first ever episode of the Two Thumbs Up podcast, the number one mobile gaming podcast featuring myself, Bobby Plays, and my co-host, Ducky the Gamer. Every single week, we are going to be bringing you guys the top news and entertainment in the mobile gaming industry.
This year is just jam-packed. We've literally never seen a year like this before for the mobile gaming scene, and so we thought, this is the perfect time to bring people on in the mobile gaming space, discuss the new games that'll be coming out, because I think there's already like six games announced to come out either this year or early next year, and really just felt like the perfect time to keep you guys in the loop, because even myself, I'm getting a bit lost in the sauce, and so just to, you know, be a one-stop shop for all things mobile and just gaming content in general, that's why we've formed the Two Thumbs Up podcast.
Obviously, as you guys will likely know by the time this is coming out, Apex Mobile is going to be out in the next couple of days. So a lot of what we're going to be covering in today's episode is going to be talking about Apex Mobile, things that are coming, and we are going to be joined by the one and only iFerg. He has a lot of plans going into Apex, and you guys know he's dominated pretty much every game that he's played over the past couple of years. We're going to talk with him about his plans for Apex Mobile and also kind of just talk about the mobile gaming scene, where it's been, where we think it's going, and we're super excited to talk about it. So if there's anybody that you guys want to see on the podcast, please let us know down in the comments below. We are going to be doing our best to get it up on Spotify and Apple Music as well. Make sure to follow us on other platforms, but we're going to go ahead and hop into the action. All right, guys, welcome to our first ever episode of the Two Thumbs Up podcast. We're joined by the one and only man himself, iFerg.
Hello.
I would say the godfather of mobile gaming. Would you say it's a fair statement?
Yeah, sure, I'll take it. Okay. If you're going to be the one to say it, I'll take it. Means I didn't say it.
Obviously, Ducky, co-host, you guys will see him here every week. We're going to go ahead and hop into the conversation with Ferg. I feel like today is the perfect day to talk about this because Rules of Survival is the game that both of us blew up on. It was really the first ever real mobile battle royale, and today they announced they are finally closing down the servers. So I guess the first question would be, how do you feel like Rules of Survival really changed mobile gaming and also changed your life in general?
Well, it was the first mobile BR, so that in itself changed mobile gaming forever, considering BR was such an impactful genre of shooters, especially in 2017, which is the year that Rules of Survival actually got released. Like I said before we started the podcast, I checked my download history, and I downloaded it on November 17th, 2017. So it's been around for years, coming up on 5 years. As far as it impacted my life, it was the game where I reached 20,000 subscribers over the spring Easter break. And without telling my parents, I just left school and just did not go back and sat in my house all day and played it. So it was the start of the full-time YouTube grind. And I guess pro grind at that time as well. But yeah, I loved Rules of Survival. I don't love it now. And when I left it, I really hated it. Like, I hated it. And I actually played a game today, and it actually felt really clunky compared to what I was used to with COD Mobile. But yeah, I loved that game when I was playing it and grinding it. And it's kind of sad to see it go.
Yep. Ducky, you played Rules of Survival for a little bit, right?
Like 2 months. I think I was just hopping on the bandwagon. I saw everyone else like popping off, and they were doing like, what was the top rank in that game called?
Grandmaster.
Yeah.
I was just grinding to Grandmaster, and I think I hit it, and then I was like, okay, I actually suck at this game. I'm not playing anymore. And just left. I left the content to the people who actually played it, and I don't even know if I want to say enjoyed it, because did you guys like, at the time, did you like properly enjoy the game? Because I didn't really ever enjoy it that much. I was just kind of playing it because there was nothing else to play at the time.
No, I liked it.
I mean, I was addicted to it whenever it first came out. Yeah. The thing is, I never really grew up playing a lot of shooters or anything, and that was the first battle royale that I ever played. So I was pretty heavily addicted, especially once I had like friends to play with and everything. We would have everybody hop on. We'd start playing at like 11 o'clock at night. I would have 8 a.m. classes the next day, so I'd just stream until 4 a.m. and then sleep for 4 hours, then go to class, and then come home and sleep another 4 hours. So that was like, for a while, it was all I wanted to do. But then I think, like, especially once the hacker infestation hit, that enjoyment dropped off pretty significantly.
Yeah, I agree. That was what really killed it for me. The hackers and then the bugs that they would just never fix.
Yep.
It was just kind of like, yeah, I don't like this game anymore. I'm waiting for the next big thing to come out.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
So what was the transition like, I guess, for you? Because I feel like we were all in a place where we knew that we wanted to move to something else, but we didn't really have any other options. Like, we had PUBG, but it wasn't really... Not that PUBG is a bad game, but just the pace of the game, I think, is kind of a unique taste for everybody. So what was kind of your game plan on the in the in-between stages between COD Mobile and Rules of Survival?
I knew that I needed to have something that was unique about my, like, quote-unquote brand, or unique about me to make it big per se, or to have like a reputation. So I just started going around a lot of different other games and being one of the best in all those different other games to build that kind of reputation to where it was known that I could play any shooter and be at the top of said shooter, or at least in the top 0.00001%. So it would give people more of a reason to watch when new games released. So that was what I did with Fortnite Mobile and then Cyber Hunter. Then I would just continuously go back to Rules of Survival, because those games, although Fortnite Mobile was big, it wasn't big for the reason that I wanted it to be big for. It was big because it was like, in my eyes, it was like a knockoff of the main game, even though they were identical. People watched Fortnite Mobile videos for like, oh, he did that in Fortnite Mobile. I wonder what that was like.
It's like a novelty type thing. Yeah, not like, yeah, it's yeah, exactly. Impressive that he did it.
Yeah, it was a novelty kind of thing. So I went back once I did that. And then Cyber Hunter was like a spin-off kind of game, which I thought was a really... even to this day, I feel like if that released like a year earlier, it would be amazing. I feel like it was a really, really good game. Well optimized. There was cool little abilities, kind of similar to how you would see in Apex nowadays. But it was a great game. Went back to Ross after that as well. And then I think it was around like a year, it was in 2018 when I just signed with Cloud9 that there was rumors of Call of Duty Mobile releasing. So as soon as I heard Call of Duty Mobile was releasing, it was a no-brainer. Like, I'm switching to that game. That's all I'm going to play. That's all I'm interested in. And then as soon as the beta came out, I was playing like 12, 14, 16 hours a day. And the same with global release, I was just playing like 12, 14, 16 hours a day, double upload, streaming every day. And just the good stuff. I knew COD Mobile was going to blow up. I knew it was going to blow up, yeah.
So I actually had... That was one of the things I wanted to ask you. As someone who played Fortnite Mobile for 3 years straight and like tried to grind to the top, within 2 weeks, you literally statistically were the best Fortnite Mobile like pub player in the world. And do you not think if you continued on that path that it could have led to... a different, like, it just wasn't an area in your career you wanted to go to? It sounds like you just didn't even enjoy the game. You didn't really see much longevity in Fortnite Mobile. But it's just odd that you were so crazy and then just dipped back to Ross.
Yeah. I mean, I loved Fortnite Mobile. I thought it was great. I loved Fortnite on console and PC as well. But like I said, like Bobby said, it just felt like a novelty to me. It felt like if you want to capture an audience that is there and they know you as that guy, it's really hard to do that on a game where the main player base is not on your platform. The reason why I love Call of Duty Mobile is because it's not crossplay. Like, as soon as it becomes crossplay and the majority of the player base are on the other platform, which is not the one that you're playing on, I feel like it kind of like it just loses a factor of like, he's that guy. And I really wanted in my career to be something similar. I tweeted this to be something similar to like an Optic Scumpy, Noah on Ross, Ninja in Fortnite. Like, I wanted to be that guy for a particular game. And I knew that Fortnite Mobile just could not supply me with what I actually wanted, because there already was the Ninja. And then it was also like the shoot off the mobile. It was neglected, but it wasn't like their main focus. And I really wanted a game to where all the devs were focused on the mobile side of it, and Call of Duty Mobile was obviously that game instead of Fortnite Mobile. But I really enjoyed that, like, I would say like the month 2 months period that I had playing the game, I loved it. I thought it was a really, really great game. And the graphics, of course, when you look back at it now, were really bad, but at the time I thought it was awesome. Like, I was able to play Fortnite Mobile like on my iPad. It was great. But yeah, it wasn't what I wanted. I needed, like, I craved the quote-unquote that guy, and I just could not get that from Fortnite Mobile, so I dipped.
That's fair. I remember people referred to me as, like, the ninja of mobile. They never referred to me, like, the you know, like the ducky, like, oh, you're like, they always refer to me as someone else. So I mean, there proves the point that even if you probably went crazy, you probably just would have been referred to as like the Ninja Mobile rather than building your own brand and being able to sustain that. So I guess, you know, it's a great move.
Okay, in the thread of crossplay, so obviously right now there's no major titles that have crossplay in them. You do have Fortnite, but that's only really available on Android right now. Going back to your, I guess we can call it beef with Dr. Disrespect, where basically you guys had like your 1v1 and everything, and you both played Battle Royale on mobile and both played it on an emulator. There's never been like a true opportunity for there to be a PC versus mobile or a console versus mobile outside of Fortnite Mobile. And we know that Warzone Mobile is coming sometime soon. Is crossplay something that you think should be enabled at some point there? Do you think there's any opportunity for mobile gamers in that?
Opportunity? Yeah. Like, it would be amazing if you could go on to Warzone Mobile and play against the biggest streamers in the world. From a YouTuber perspective, like purely from a YouTuber perspective, I think it would hurt us personally more than we would gain from there being a crossplay. So that would be a reason for me to not want it to happen, because Warzone on PC and console is, it's just not at a prime or a peak state. But when it comes to mobile, everyone will be like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, it's here, it's finally here, we finally get Warzone. And if it's like the exact identical game as PC, then people are just going to watch the PC gameplay because it's higher quality and it's, yep, it's just, it's quote unquote, it's just better, it's just a better viewing experience. So it would probably hurt if it did become crossplay, but I guess the argument for it to be crossplay is to have all those like collaborations and those PC versus mobile kind of things that would go on if it were to happen, which I think would be amazing if that were to happen. Because as far, like, in my personal opinion, I feel like there is definitely players on mobile that could hang with the best players on PC and console, especially like mobile has aim assist, dude. So there's definitely going to be people that can hang with like the best players.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's pretty much been all but confirmed that it is going to be on Verdansk for Warzone Mobile. So I think especially, I think that maybe even works better for mobile, especially given the response that the PC and console community has had to Caldera. I would say probably 80-90% of people say they preferred Verdansk, so that could just be another step in the right direction for Warzone Mobile and maybe getting some of that PC and console scene to start to transition over as well.
Yeah, I agree. I hope we get Verdansk and we don't get that other map. I don't really, like, I haven't even played Caldera or whatever, but I would watch Doc and stuff play it, and it just, I don't know, man, like, you couldn't, like, climb up the main part of the map. There was, like, a big, massive hill in the middle of the map, and it was really hard to get on top of it, and it just basically took out a portion of the map that you had to walk around. It just made for really long and boring gameplay compared to the Verdansk that I was just playing and also watching.
What about a Rebirth on mobile? Do you think, one, if that'll come, or like, do you think that'd be a good, like, splitting up the player base even more off launch? Or do you think that would be something where, like, because I'm not a huge Warzone guy, like, I've watched it a few times, never played it, but whenever I do watch someone, it's always Rebirth, because I just love the action, it's intense. Yeah. And I feel like Warzone never really attracted me, because it was always a bit slower pace, or I guess compared to the Battle Royales I'm used to, it just felt a bit more like tactical, and I just like running and gunning and spraying people.
Yeah. You like building your own cover, huh?
Yeah. I don't like finding it.
It is funny to hear somebody describe Warzone as tactical, because I don't know anybody that plays it that would call it that.
Really?
No, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say Warzone is probably the least tactical battle royale that is out right now, but that might just be me.
I mean, I guess if you compare it to other BRs, probably, but in my mind, like Fortnite, you could have no brain and just have really good mechanics, and those would carry you through tournaments, pubs. And so I feel like every other game compared to Fortnite is just more tactical in that sense. But
I get that, because the from personal experience at least, the people who switched and transitioned from Fortnite Mobile to Apex Mobile and they scrim, they just stand out in the open. Like every single time, it doesn't matter if they're like crazy mechanically, they'll just walk out into the open and kill themselves. They have no concept of like cover. Yeah. They just don't understand it. They're just so used to just building a one by one and then chilling.
All right.
So lack of the brains.
So obviously we got Apex, which is going to be releasing soon, quote unquote. Hopefully by the time this podcast comes out, everybody will know the official launch date of Apex Mobile. Of all the games coming out in the next year or two, give me your top one for number one, what you think will be the top game overall. Number two, what do you think will be the top esport? And number three, what do you think is maybe the underdog that could surprise some people?
Okay. Is top esport judged by viewership?
That is... I think when I say top esport, I would say most well-respected by the mainstream gaming community.
Okay. I would say, well, first off, Rainbow Six is out of the picture. I don't like that game. I think that's too slow, dude. It's slow. It feels boring. And it's not... In my opinion, I don't think it will be good for content creation. I don't think people will want to watch YouTubers play a really slow, like...
I think just generally for the attention span of mobile gamers, it doesn't make a ton of sense just because of the pace of the game.
Yeah, no. I mean, I could be proven wrong, download the game and think it's awesome, but right now, from outside looking into how that game plays on other platforms, not the move. Again, like, if they just optimized Apex a little bit more, I think it will probably be the best game. And then for esports viewership... It's going to be a battle royale. It has to be a battle royale. Something to keep people engaged to the final circle, to the end. It'll probably be Apex as well. I think Apex is probably in the prime spot of any other game coming out in the next year or so. A game that might surprise people. At least I feel like it could surprise me because I don't normally like these games. Is probably Rogue Company. Because I never played it on PC, but I kind of like the look of it. It looked kind of quirky. It was like a third-person search and destroy game. So I'm actually hyped about that. So I think hopefully it will surprise me, being a person that doesn't really like third-person arena games. Like, I would never play third-person Call of Duty in multiplayer. You know what I mean? That just would not seem fun to me. But the Rogue Company seemed pretty cool when I seen Doc playing it. So I'm pretty excited for that. I feel like that will surprise people. But yeah, I think Apex is... probably in the best spot for any game currently. Warzone could kind of take off, definitely not for esports, but for like overall game and viewership and stuff like that, I feel like Warzone could probably take it off a throne. But for the next year, it will definitely be Apex, in my opinion.
So one game, I don't know if Bobby mentioned it when we were talking about all the new games that are coming out, but Valorant Mobile, I feel like that would be the poised game to just dominate esports, because regularly, like the VCT takes like yesterday or a few days before had like 600K viewers watching all the watch parties and streams. But the thing is, it's kind of, I feel like the Valorant community is just going to meme mobile to no extent. Like the Valorant community is already a little toxic, like little known for just like the toxicity in it. And I feel like throwing in a mobile version of the game, people are just going to dismiss any esports, any content. You're like, almost like Fortnite when it came out. Like, oh, you're not a real player, not a real content creator, anything like that. So, I don't know. I hope Valorant Mobile succeeds, but I already feel like Apex Mobile has that respect from like other people in the community. And Valorant Mobile will just take like years to get that respect.
There's one thing with Valorant Mobile which will either kill or make it excel, and that's if they add aim assist. If they add it, trash. If they keep it so that there's no aim assist, then it'll be really good, and then people will respect it. But dude, if you're gonna watch Valorant Mobile and there's people just locking on with aim assist, especially on iPad, like, that is not gonna be fun to watch or play. But if they take aim assist off, then I would see Valorant taking over Apex in terms of esports for sure.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think for a lot of these games that are trying to make the transition from mobile, I think the toughest thing is going to be catering to the mobile attention span and also like the play style of mobile. Because right now, all the games that are really excelling, especially on the casual side of things for mobile gaming, are like fast-paced games that you don't have to do like a ton of research. It's okay if you don't have the best aim. And I think one of the nice things about Call of Duty Mobile is that it is like relatively fast paced, but also does have a high potential for skill gap. So it kind of incorporates both of those sides of catering to casuals while at the same time having at least opportunities for esports. I think Valorant Mobile, like you said, it's going to be very interesting to see how they implement that, just because there are so many roadblocks. And if there's no aim assist, I've got a feeling people are going to just laugh at the gameplay a lot. It's like, especially if you're looking at esports, and if everything is on phone with no aim assist playing Valorant, I think it could look a little bit rough. But also, I know that there are a lot of COD Mobile pros that do have their eyes on Valorant Mobile as well. So it's just another thing to keep in mind.
I mean, I'll definitely play Valorant for sure.
Yep.
I was going to say, I feel like any game that doesn't have like native controller support, there would be no reason to add aim assist. Like the only reason they have aim assist on these other games is because they have native controller support. And I can't imagine Valorant Mobile having controller support and Valorant on PC doesn't have controller support. So I feel like that's almost a guarantee or really strong leaning that it won't have it. But yeah, if it has aim assist, I probably won't even play the game. Like, it's just not going to be an enjoyable experience. Then you're going to have people like, oh, you're abusing aim assist, and then people turn off aim assist, but then you suck because you're going against aim assist abusers. So we'll see. See what happens.
Ferg, do you think tablets are mobile devices?
Yeah, of course. I don't even get involved in those arguments anymore, dude. Like, see, if I see somebody doing that and they're just constantly tweeting out and it comes up in my feed, I'll just block them. Like, that's it. Like, I don't, it's not going to be a mute. It's going to be an instant block. Like, I don't even want to deal with those people, bro. I don't want them in my mentions. I don't want anything to do with those people, bro. It's so annoying. It's so annoying, dude.
That's how to speed run a Ferg block right there. Just tweet at Ferg, mobile iPads are mobile devices. Boom. Instant block, baby.
True. I don't even want to mention who it was that got the block recently, but he was one thing. I just couldn't deal with it anymore. I was like, yeah, I'm out of here. No shot.
Do you think there is ever going to be a time, maybe in the next 3 years, where iPads and tablets are allowed in mobile esports?
Yeah, like, if you're thinking about it logically, the only reason it's phones is because the sponsor is a phone brand. If the sponsor was a headset, you could use whatever device you wanted. Like, they would just let you use whatever device you were most comfortable with, and that would be it. Or they would supply a device that maybe they wanted you to use, but it wouldn't be like how it is now, where Sony Xperia, you must use the Sony Xperia 2 to play the entire championship or you're gonna get banned. Like, it wouldn't be like that, you know, or it wouldn't be like a OnePlus this or anything at all. It would just be, yeah, bring your device. If it can be used with our capturing software, you're allowed to use it. If not, we'll give you like the secondary device that you can use so that we can capture your gameplay and put it on the live stream at LAN. But for the most part, it really just comes down to sponsors. Like, if there wasn't these sponsors put in place, then they wouldn't care what device you were using. It was like that in Ross. Like, there was no phone sponsors, so we could just use iPads all we wanted. Yep. Like, all the time.
Yeah, I think one of the cool things, I haven't paid a ton of attention to PUBG News State, but I do know that they are running, what is it, like a $250,000 FPP you can play on any device tournament. I think that's one of the cool things about esports running their own events without having phone sponsors. Because to be honest, I feel like mobile esports is reaching a point where games are going to start putting their own money on the line without necessarily needing sponsors in the first place. That mobile gaming, especially as far as revenue goes, vastly is already surpassing PC gaming and console gaming. So there's more than enough money there. It's just a question of whether or not the game's going to put their own money on the line. And I think if people are going to get to a point where mainstream gaming especially is going to have respect for mobile gamers, I think iPads and tablets are going to need to be in play, because that's just where you're going to find peak gameplay.
I agree. I think tablet, like, the players on iPads, like, the best players are just that slight bit better than those phone players. And it's not even, like, a debate. It's just facts. Like, the tablet players are always better than the phone players. I guarantee you in this, like, the upcoming months when we see Apex, really, in my opinion, blow up, especially in its first month, the people who blow up are all going to be tablet players. There's going to be no phone players, because all the phone players are going to lag that little bit behind, especially with the, I don't know if you guys seen on Twitter, but a bunch of people have been posting this like movement thing that you can do.
Yep.
And that, there's no way any phone player is going to be able to do that consistently. There's absolutely no shot. But yeah, I completely agree with you, Bobby. I think in order for mobile gaming to be respected by the masses, you have to be able to use the best devices, and the best devices are the best iPads and probably the Red Magic. That's about it. Those are the devices you're going to want to use if you want to succeed in mobile content creation and being a pro. And I feel like the iPad kind of trumps the Red Magic just because of your ability to aim on a larger screen. So yeah, I really hope they just start allowing tablet users. I don't think I'll personally hop into a pro scene as heavily as I have done in the past, but it would be really fun to watch, to see the actual best of the best compete.
For sure.
That's something I've always, yeah, it's like people want to debate phone versus tablet, but I think it's like, I think they all deep down know it's iPad. And we're just limiting our, like, the mobile community, the mobile ecosystem by forcing people to play on phones and having this, like, silly. I mean, ultimately the debate's silly. Like, it's a touchscreen device, it's mobile. But yeah, I think Apex Mobile is even being optimized for tablets, it seems like. It seems like the phone game, like, phone users aren't getting neglected, I want to say, but, like, it's definitely a game, almost like Fortnite, where if you're not on a phone or not on a tablet, then you're just going to have some serious disadvantages. Like, I think the top 15 placing players in every tournament on Fortnite Mobile were iPad players. And then you have, like, one phone player, then, like, 15 more iPad players. And so I honestly hope that's the case with Apex. It might sound, like, greedy, but, like, that's how we just, like you said, excel the scene. And if we don't do that, I don't know, we're going to be stuck in the Stone Age still. We're going to get clowned on.
All right, in the name of playing devil's advocate right here, the most common, I guess, counter argument for iPads being allowed, tablets being allowed in mobile esports is not everybody can afford an iPad. Not everybody has an iPad, but on the other side, everybody has a phone. What would be your response to that?
I need to know how to word this without getting canceled. Honestly, like, if you're good enough with the phone, then win some tournaments and then buy an iPad. Make some videos, create a brand, do that stuff. Like, from a devil's advocate point of view, I see that they're right. But when I was playing back in the day, console, Call of Duty, there was never anyone in the community complaining about players having scuff controllers when they played on the default controller. I would never in my life. I was sitting there, default Andy, had no little paddles on the back, trying to go for number one on the leaderboards, 13-year-old Ferg grinding his ass off during summer. It wouldn't even have crossed my mind. Like, oh my god, scuff controller, you're pay to win. Like, I hate this. Oh my god. Like that thought never entered my mind. So to see these people now in my comment section and everyone's comment section saying, like, tablet isn't real gamer, and, like, you're not a mobile gamer, stuff like that, I don't even understand their thought process behind that, because it just, when I was a kid and I couldn't afford this or that, like, it didn't even cross my mind to say something like that to the players that were using the scuff controllers, and their gameplay was better, which made it more enjoyable to watch, which is why I still stand by the point of we should be able to use iPads and tablets because it makes it better to watch. You know, it will increase the viewership. That's just how it goes. And I will die on this hill saying that tablets should be allowed in esports for sure. I can't really see how I could counter argue because, like I said, I kind of agree. If you can't afford an iPad, there's definitely no point to trying to get an iPad unless you're trying to really make a career out of it. But at the top of play, they should be allowed. That's just the way it should be. You should be allowed to use the best device that you can possibly obtain. It's the same on PC. Like, if you have a better PC, you're going to have a better optimized game. That's just the way it is. Life's not fair. It's, in any industry, the vertical is always set by who has the largest income or the most money. They can make the better moves, and that's just the way it is. So I don't see why it's so different on mobile. It's the only place that I've seen, and I've looked around at life, where the people who can't get what they want just complain about the people who can get it. I've never really seen that before. It's been the first time for me, definitely. But yeah, it's a shame for the folks that definitely cannot get a tablet. But I mean, for the next couple of years, doesn't look like it's going to change. So if you want to make a big move, get into those phone tournaments, and we'll see if tablets are allowed. And if they're not, then this conversation doesn't even need to be had.
Yep. I mean, another argument that I've seen against it is that playing on iPad is too easy. I just can't think of any time that I've watched somebody play on phone and watched somebody play on tablet. I was like, oh yeah, the tablet gameplay is really boring. It doesn't look like he has to try at all. Like, there's absolutely no question. The people that are at the top on tablet, it's not like they like get a tablet and they just magically become good. Like, there are people that are grinding every day to become better, regardless of the platform that they play on. And there's already this massive stigma around mobile gaming, in that mobile gamers aren't real gamers. You can't aim. The mechanics are aiming for you. I think as of right now, mobile gamers need every opportunity possible to be able to allow them to get to that same level of gameplay that we see on PC and controller. Because you can say iPad is too easy as much as you want to, but they're still not playing at the same level as the PC and console pros who have been doing this for 14 plus years. So I think in the grand scheme of things, mobile esports will probably continue to gravitate toward iPads and tablets as things get more and more competitive. And I think, like, going back to what you talked about, Ferg, like, the better your gameplay, the more likely people are going to be to watch you. It's going to result in better viewership for those mobile esports events if the people have better gameplay. So I think that's ultimately going to be the result of people playing on tablets.
Agreed.
I agreed, yeah.
Ferg, you're a pretty open book. There's not a whole lot that you hide from the world. Most of the time when you share your when you have an opinion, you're pretty open to share it. Are there any opinions that you have that maybe not that you've tried to keep hidden, but maybe some that you're not quite as open about on social media?
Opinions
or facts about you?
Free Fire is trash. Don't care what anyone says. Don't care how much money they're going to throw at me. I do not care.
Oh my.
That game is trash. Like, the movement system, there's like 8 ways to move. It's not like a joystick to where you can like do a whole 360 degree of movement around. When you like move your joystick, it's 8. It goes up there, 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 and there. Like, that's it. You can't actually like move properly. And then when you aim down your sight, if I'm aiming over here, can I swear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This gonna be over in Narnia, dude, and I'll aim here, bang, dead, instant kill, auto aim, auto fire. It has the bunch. It has everything that you could need to get free kills. And like we were just saying, it's kind of holding mobile back, it being one of the best, or the best, one of the most viewed esports, like a game that insta locks on and it shoots for you. Like, what is the point in having that game? Why would you even have it downloaded? You know, that like, why even play that game? There is no skill when you're trying to even go into tournaments. Like, how does that even work? How are the best teams winning? Do they win a lot? Is it always the same team at the top? Like, how do you differentiate skill level in that game other than trying to hide as much until the end so that you can just stay away from the bloodbath that is auto-aim and auto-shoot? You know, I just don't understand why people play that. And I don't care how much money they throw at me, I'm not playing that game. I will stand. It's another one of those things where I'll stand on the hill, I'll die on the hill until they fixed it. Not playing that game. That's probably the only controversial opinion I would have.
We gotta wait till after we post our Free Fire ads to post this stream.
So, I mean, do you think, even though that game, I think, pulled like 3.4 million concurrent viewers, do you think because of the way you see it and it's like lack of skill gap, do you think it's doing a disservice to mobile? Because
100%.
Interesting.
110%. Like, when you think about mobile, you're going to want to see, oh, what's the biggest mobile game? What's the biggest mobile esport? If Free Fire is the thing that comes up when you search that and they go onto that and they see how it plays, that's just an instant L. Like, that's so bad. Instead of it being like a Call of Duty mobile or even like a PUBG mobile, if Free Fire's on the top and it's considered like the best due to numbers, it's terrible. Like, that will just make the entire scene look horrible. And yeah, I think it's doing a massive disservice to the mobile community. I understand why some people will play it, because there's loads of different versions of the app, so you can play it on any device, like low-end, like super, super low-end devices, like 1 gigabyte RAM kind of devices we're talking about here can run that game. But in terms of the grand scheme of things, if you want mobile to be looked well upon by the masses, you're not going to want that game on top at all. You want a game like COD Mobile
or PUBG Mobile to be on top for sure.
The one thing I will say about Free Fire, I think it does a good job of introducing people to esports that probably would never be interested in them in the first place. And so I think it does serve a purpose. I think, like you said, like, as far as perceptions of mobile gaming, it definitely is not doing any favors, which actually leads me to the next topic, which is your thoughts on the introduction of third-person perspective into Apex Mobile, whether or not it's going to be in Warzone Mobile, and what place you feel like third-person perspective has in mobile gaming in general.
I think people who play, if the game is meant to be played in first person and you play it in third person, skill issue. That's all it is. You can't get over the fact that you want a third person peek walls. Like, that's all that. Why else would you play third person? That's all you want. You want to camp and third person peek everyone that comes around so that you don't have to take a one-on-one gunny. That's all it is. In my opinion, third person is just skill issue. If you were really down to get better at the game and to play it in its rawest form, especially Apex, you're playing first person. I don't know any pro players that go onto Apex and they're like, holy, can't wait to play third person. Oh my god. Like, nobody says that. I don't know any good player that'd be saying that. And it's the same with Warzone. If they add third person into Warzone, sure, if you're a casual, go for it. Have fun with it. But the majority of the scene, at least the professional scene, will be on first person. So if you're trying to make a career off gaming, don't just leave third person in the past with Ross. Like, we've seen what happened to Ross, man. It was a third person game and it's not here anymore. So you might as well stick with the first person stuff for sure.
What's the reason you play third person in COD Mobile?
What, third person in the Battle Royale?
Uh-huh.
Oh, me personally? It's just because that's where the most players are at.
Yeah.
Or I would play. Like, and then also, first person BR in COD Mobile, I don't know if it's true or not, but it feels like it has less FPS. But I think it's because you compare it directly to the multiplayer, and it just has so much less FPS than the multiplayer first person, which would lead to, like, not playing it as much as well. And then, I feel like the maps and how guns work in BR for Call of Duty Mobile, it's just a bad experience in general, and having to play on the laggy first-person mode just makes it even worse. Like, it's really hard to see when people are running across, and you're trying to snipe them as they run across from you, it is so hard to land a shot. It feels like it's not consistent. Whereas if you hop on Warzone, it's like, I know if I shoot here and he's running at this exact speed, full tilt, like, this is going to hit the shot if I just wait and time it right. Whereas if you time it right in COD Mobile, it just doesn't feel like it's the move. So lag plus that, I'm good. I'll stick, like, I don't even play BR in that game anymore. So, but yeah, I would stick this TPP on that for sure.
Yeah, I think that's what confuses a lot of people when they see, like, most of the main content creators playing TPP. I think they assume it's because they all think it's the best game mode, whereas the reality is you just can't find real people in FPP lobbies. So
yeah,
that's just kind of the way that it is right now.
Only really custom games. And then you got to set up those custom games. And if you want
stream sniped the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're going to get stream sniped and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Next, I don't play COD Mobile BR. So, like, I always played, I remember, like, I actually enjoyed first person kind of a lot. But yeah, same thing. Like, it was like capped at 60 FPS, right? And then multiplayers for iPads are capped at 120 or 90. So it just felt like this weird divide, but I don't know. I still preferred it because it felt really clunky playing third person, and my lobbies were all so bad that no matter what lobby I played in, I was still getting bots. So yeah. I just kept on chucking. But yeah, I definitely agree that if you want to make a career out of mobile, first person, but I do think that having third person in, I don't know, it might be controversial, but I think it's good to have third person at least in the game. But all the real players, all the really good players, the pros, content creators, they're going to gravitate towards first person in a game like Warzone or Apex. Like, if a game is native on PC or console, third person, it's fine to play it on third person on mobile, but these games aren't, like, native third person, typically. So then you add in the TPP mode, and then I feel like the mobile community gets so in their heads and they make up arguments and they start fighting for no reason. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, just play what mode you want to play, enjoy it, have fun. But just know that if you want to make it or progress in the pro scene or content scene, you'll have to play first person because that's just what everyone wants to watch realistically.
I don't know. I don't think I think that's part of it, is that the mobile community, I think the mobile BR community doesn't want to watch first person. Like, anytime, even though recently COD Mobile BR has been optimized way better for FPP, anytime I would stream it, they'd be like, ew, first person looks terrible, even though it just looks like COD Mobile multiplayer, but on a battle royale map, they're like, ew, it looks terrible, because they're so used to third person at this point that they just don't have a frame of reference. And it's different for Apex because they've never seen like what TPP for Apex looks like. Yeah. So they just watch the PC gameplay. But as far as COD Mobile BR goes, because everybody, or not everybody, but a lot of the scene transitioned from PUBG over to COD Mobile BR, because of that, they just kind of stuck with TPP. And that's kind of my fear, is if there is no like esports for Warzone Mobile or something like that, and they do have TPP, number one, it splits up the player base, takes longer time for you to have queues, results in more bots in your lobbies. Number two, if those same content creators who have dominated PUBG, who have dominated COD Mobile BR, come over, they're going to by default play on TPP as well. I think there's a chance that Warzone just becomes another TPP shooter.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I seen a, I think it was Jan, Rick, and Kyle came over to Apex and they played TPP as well. Right, I just looked straight out the gate.
Dude, I don't know, it's funny. If you run with Octane and third person, it is funniest animation in the world. Like, you can't even focus on what you're doing because your character is just like throwing his arms everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's a game. I mean, like I said, if a casual wants to play on third person, like, go for it. And
yeah,
it just leads like to complexities later on of like, which is the better game mode? What are we going to have tournaments on? What are we going to do customs in? And it's just like, I don't know. It's just like unneeded divide. But I guess it's just going to continue on probably, because like you said, PUBG players want to play third person, and then they're going to go from one game to the next. And then, you know, it's just going to continue on down the line until a game puts their foot down and is like, no third person, first person. Like, this is how we're supposed to play mobile games.
Yeah. To be honest, like, I think that they see it as a good thing. Like you said, you used a really good word there, divide. Like, divide in anything, causing conflict in anything will attract more attention and keep the attention on said thing. So if they keep the divide, then people will be more gravitated towards talking about the game. And so if we keep the FPP versus TPP argument going, especially into Apex, then more people will continually talk and fight about it. So it'll always be on their mind, and then they'll play it more.
Fair point. That's valid. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Obviously, you started in Clash Royale was the first game you ever made content for, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. What would you say is the most important lesson that you learned in your first year of making content in Clash Royale?
It was probably the number one. Like, because I remember seeing people get number one in Clash Royale, and they would make a clan, and their clan would be underneath their name. So it would be like twitch.tv/BagCR, twitch.tv/HazardCR, or like they put their Twitter, CMCMQ, like they would put that. Those are like, if anyone watched Clash Royale, you know exactly who those people were back in the pro scene. But yeah, it was like the kind of thing that I'm known for now, is like being number one in all these different titles, just going for it in the leaderboards. And I learned that from Clash Royale, because that's what all of the pros used to do, just to promote their Twitter or their Twitch stream, which I then brought onto the other titles for sure. Or there's also networking. So this is an odd story, but basically I was like a content creator, Clash Royale, whatever. And I was friends with the pros because I was a content creator, and we would play Fortnite on the PC together. So there was, like, I just named CMQ and Eric were in Cloud9 in Clash Royale. And I would play Rules of Survival with them on my iPad. Like, I would, like, we would have fun play Rules of Survival if they didn't want to play Clash or we didn't want to play Fortnite together. And the conversation just kind of came up like, oh, Ferg, you should post videos on this. Because at the time, I was still playing Clash Royale on my channel. Like, I wouldn't upload Rules of Survival videos. And it was them bugging me about playing Rules of Survival and uploading it that I would be like, okay, maybe I should do this. And then further down the line, when I transitioned or whatever, and it was seen that I was very good, I went to, I think it was Eric, and said, like, hey, yo, so is Cloud9 trying to pick up a Battle Royale team or anything? Like, let's see if we can, like, sort something out here. And he went straight to the mobile manager at the time, who was named Ian. He's currently, I think he's with Envy, but I could be wrong. But he was with Cloud9 at the time. And basically, just because I knew Eric and CMQ and the network situation worked out as though I had access to Ian, hopped on a call and was like, yeah, dude, just get three other players. We'll sign the team. We'll sign you and we'll get you on the pro scene, which is exactly how I got into, I guess, pro mobile battle royale content creation. So then I went to the only other YouTuber that I knew that played on mobile at the time, which was Hawks. And I was like, listen, dude, this opportunity came around. I had no idea. Like, me and Hawks had never conversed before this ever. Like, I'd never talked to him ever. I was like, yo, dude, so this guy wants to pick me up for C9. You want to make a team? Like, let's do something here. So he went and picked up a couple guys, one of which he will not be named currently because he got in a little bit of a pickle and I don't even want to bring him up. But the third guy, Hot, we picked up Hot. So me, Hawks, and Hot are still friends to this day. Like, our group chat is still active. It's called Grinders. And because I knew I was friends with the Cloud9 people, the Clash Royale guys, I was able to pick up Hawks, join Cloud9 myself, and pick up Hot. Hot then met a person from Clash Royale who apparently he said that I introduced him to him called Mobile Matt. So now Hot has left his managing job, which he used to have, and now he was friends with the mobile guy called Mobile Matt. And now he works for Mobile Matt's brand new company, which is valued in the millions of dollars. And they both work in the crypto space together. So it went from me knowing Clash Royale, joining Cloud9, getting him in to play professionally mobile games. And now they're both in the crypto sphere, like working with all these big Brazilian crypto people. Like, it's really, really small world. And if I didn't have the network to get us all in Cloud9, we would all not be in these different avenues doing all these different things. So definitely going for number one and networking for sure. Networking, like, especially nowadays, network is your net worth. If you're surrounded by people who know a bunch of different skills, and you can acquire value from them and you can give value to them, like, it's a really, really beneficial friendship to have, or relationship to have, for sure. So networking and getting number one, understanding the importance of being the best or being that guy, it gets you far more than being second or being third. I can actually, I'm rambling on a bit here, but I need to say this. Like, back in the day, Jokesta was number two. Jokesta was the number two spot when it came to leaderboards in COD Mobile. When it was the beta, he was number two. When the first and second beta, he was number two. And then the global launch, he was number two. And he just did not get the exposure that I got for being number one. So I really feel like number one, just it holds such a precedent above all these other, like, leaderboard. And he had the YouTube stuff. He had all that going in his, like, name and stuff. And he was promoting it. But it just never, you need to be that guy. You got to be the dude at the top. All right, it's just not going to benefit you and help you as much as anything else would.
Yeah, I mean, I think when I look at, like, I can attest, like, when I look at leaderboards, I'm like, oh, it's number one. I feel bad for the, like, number two guy, because they can be, like, 100 points off, but as soon as they get, like, 50 points, the number one guy's like, I'm getting back on, we're grinding. And that's definitely, like, you, and you just embody that, like, because that was even one of the questions. I was like, why, like, what was the factor that made you just want to dominate every single game? And now I get it, because you saw from, like, an early on point in your career that being the best or having something to attribute to yourself that, like, you no one can deny that, like, you're number one. They can't say, oh, you, like, do you know, cheat your way. Like there, you have proof that you are the best. And I think that a lot of people, you know, even before Apex was coming out, people are like, I'm gonna be the best, I'm gonna be the, you know, I'm gonna be on top, I'm gonna be grinding. It's like, you got to put your money where your mouth is in, you know, the world today. Like, I would honestly just go, like, grind for it, go for it, and, like, let your actions speak louder than your words. Because nothing is worse than saying you're going to be the best, and then you're, like, not even on the leaderboards. Like, that's even worse, because now you've already put yourself out there as, like, someone who doesn't back themselves up. So that's fascinating. That's cool, though, that Clash Royale had that, like, I didn't even know that little self-promo feature. Like, that's genius. Because there's no other, I guess, like Clash of Clans, but no other clan system would, like, advertise you could make a name like that. So, did you ever hit number one in Clash Royale?
I did, but it was all of, like, 50 seconds that I had to head out for. So, I'll say, like, four-time number one, it could be five, but, like, I would not
count. You could put it in there. You could throw it in.
I wouldn't even count that. Like, it doesn't feel like I earned it, you know?
That's respect. Whatever.
Yeah, it's the same thing with the Apex. Like, nobody's gonna count a soft launch number one. You know what I mean? Like, who cares about that?
Are you going to be grinding number one global Apex, or are you just going to have to see?
Oh, dude. I want to say no, but like, it will be on the day of the release. It will probably be like a 50-50 chance whether I like, okay, I'm sitting down 38R straight, like I'm going for it. Like it will be like a 50-50 whether I do that or not, but we'll see. Like I could just say, screw the schedule. Like I'm just playing this all the time because I do have Apex videos already made. Like they're edited, structured, storyline was there, got them made, some clickbait ones, like how I got number one in Apex Legends Mobile, because you know I got the screenshot, so I might as well make the video of it. And I got that in the books, it's been all wrapped up. So I'll have stuff to upload. So I could have free time to go for it. And it really just matters if my body gives out. That's the only thing I can feel like restricted me. Like if I start going like this and like I can't freaking move my neck or whatever, then maybe I'll have to cut it short. But yeah, on the day, 50-50 chance. Like, actually, I would say 75-25. Like, the more I think about it, maybe like an 80-20, man.
Maybe
like an
90-10. Let's get 90-10.
Yeah.
99-1. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because it would just be great to add to the resume of like consistency. So I'm going to say I probably will.
See, I just took away something. The only thing that'll stop you is if you physically cannot. There's no like, I'm tired, I'm gonna go to bed after 12 hours.
Yeah,
like,
no shot.
Yeah, see, like that's the mentality. Like people have to understand, it's so competitive now. Even with the mobile, like you've got to give it your all. And if you're not, like you're just not gonna be number one. So like that's the attitude of a champion right there.
All right, you have only posted 2 COD Mobile videos in the past month. What have you been working on in the meantime?
It's been all Apex. Like I've just been doing Apex all the time. Like you don't see it because I kind of my strategy around Apex, I might as well tell you. I think I've said this too much behind the scenes and now all these other people are doing it. Mm-hmm. Where I'm stockpiling all this content and just gonna release it at global. When I was talking to these YouTubers before, they were just firing out content, and now I've said that to them, they're like, oh, I'm gonna reserve all this content for the global launch. I'm like, dude, like I shouldn't have said this. Uh-huh. I should have never told them. Fishes don't get caught by the hooks if they have their mouth closed, dude. I should have just kept my mouth closed. Shouldn't have said anything to these people, but I did. Big blabbermouth fur, came back at it and gave all these dudes the details. But basically I've just been grinding Apex. It got to the point where you guys know, like there's the scrim server or whatever. When Bobby, when you were watching it, that was when like I was kind of good. And then I think maybe like the week after that, I just played all day. I was just playing 16 hours a day. I woke up, played Apex, didn't stop playing until I went to bed, slept 8 hours, woke up, played Apex. And it got to the point where me and Monarch, who is really unknown, like Monarch is so unknown. I always play with Monarch in the betas of these games. Every single beta I've played with Monarch. But me and him are just winning like 90% of the games in scrims. So I just stopped playing scrims, hopped on an alt account, and now I've just been going for 1v3 clips against the scrim teams so that when the game launches, I can just have all these clips of me 1v3ing all the best players, dude. I actually got a nasty clip against Godsley yesterday. He had no idea it was me.
Oh, no!
Bro, and he was the last guy alive, too. He was the last guy alive, and I was running away. No shield, bro. I waited for him to jump down. Bam! Mastiff to the face, dude. Oh, when he sees the clip. It was Balor and Godsley. I don't know who their third guy was, but they weren't streaming or anything. Like, you can't even call me stream sniper or anything like that. Like, they just happened to be in my game, and it's gonna be juicy when I drop that. But yeah, that's what I've been doing, like really really grinding in, because I know when the game drops, first thing people are gonna be looking for is best player in Apex, who's the best, let me see the number one gameplay. Like that's the first thing people will look at, and then it'll be like just other random stuff that correlates to helping them get better at the game.
Do you think there's anybody that's close to your skill level in the game right now?
There's two players that are, I would say we're all equal, and it's me, Icy, and Mago. Like, those are the guys. I'm the best scrimmer. I would say Mago is the best ranked player, and Icy is the most versatile out of all three of us.
I watched Icy in the Mobile Mayhem kill race, and that kid is just absolutely, like, everything he does is just so smooth. Like, there's no mistakes in his movement. And he just doesn't miss. It's pretty cool to see. But I'm excited to see the Apex Pro scene progress. And obviously,
one thing I would say is, I don't know. Like me, Mago, and Icy all do this thing.
Mago taught Icy it, and Icy taught me it. Like the momentum thing that you can get, where you can just slide on hop all over the place. I don't know if they'll keep that in the game. I think they're gonna patch that, because it's not on the Apex PC, which, in my opinion, it could hurt the game in a way, because it just looks so good when you do it. It's just so satisfying seeing somebody do that. And while they're doing it, they're 1v3ing like a team and stuff. It's just so good to look at. But I understand like why they would nerf it and basically take it out of the game. But I agree with you. Icy is, as far as skill goes, he is definitely top three. Yep. And I will see all these like scrimmers, and they'll make their lists, and their lists are just, they're just wrong. They just don't understand. They don't understand, but they're viewing it from like a competitive perspective, and like, yeah, that makes sense. Like the competitive and the rank scene will be completely different in that game, at least for the first few months. Unless they did, see if they add like an in-game thing, similar to how ALGS is ran, to where it's like a thing every kind of weekend, and they can play in these tournaments, yeah, and like the content creators can stream it, and it's just a bunch of fun. That would be absolutely huge. But if that's not a thing, then yeah, the ranked and the pro scene will definitely be different. And I don't think Mago is going to go pro in this game. I've talked to him a couple of times, and he seems pretty content on content, whereas Icy is moving towards the pro scene. Right. Yeah, that's top three. That's top three in my opinion for overall skill. I was saying like scrims, then Monarch would definitely be up there as well, but he doesn't play, like, he plays Gibby and that's all he plays, so it's really hard to see how mechanically gifted he is in the game. And which is why I would say if there was going to be a scrims like scrimmer top three, it would be me, Monarch, and Medic.
Sure. I have seen Medic at the top of a lot of lists, but I kind of figured he was mainly a scrimmer right now, so that makes sense.
Yeah, he is, yeah, for sure.
I feel like I've already seen a Twitter, I was trying to look it up right now, like a linked account to ALGS Mobile. Like, I think they already have that.
There's
out
not
there.
An ALGS Mobile account, but they listed the Apex Legends Mobile YouTube account on the ALGS official YouTube.
Okay.
So that's the reason that a lot of people are saying, like, oh, they officially announced Apex Mobile Esports. They didn't really announce it. They just added that channel.
I mean, yeah, it's going to be a thing, but that'd be sick. No, I didn't know there was like in-game tournaments. Kind of like, I guess, like the Fortnite stuff. Yeah. So that'd be sick.
One thing I will say about Apex, see, like this month compared to last month, the skill gap is insane. Like,
oh, it's absolutely absurd.
Like when I got number one, everyone was trash. And this video that I will drop in the first day of release will show me from the first month. So we had to edit it in a way to make it not show as much movement as what I will show in later videos, just because of how quick people actually progressed, and we all progressed, because it's just people grinding. Like, it's everyone's 12 hours a day. It's like how I treated COD Mobile, but instead of it just being me treating COD Mobile that way, there's like 10 people, and 10 doesn't sound like a lot, but if you have 10 content creators all insane at the game, the competition for like those highlight gameplays and like people wanting to see the best player, it's going to be stiff for sure. So yeah, it's going to be exciting to see how this all progresses. I'm super excited for Apex. I love that game.
I just have am I in that video? Am I in that video you clipped me? Or am I good? Am I safe?
No, you're safe. Yeah.
I don't play scrim, so is it only scrim clips or is it like arena clips?
I don't think either of us are good enough to end up in a montage, because nobody's going to be impressed by Fern killing Bobby or Fern killing Ducky, you know?
I just didn't want to catch myself on the big screen day one and then just be clowned. Just be...
Nah.
Right, that's Bobby, all I know.
Bobby might be in it.
I'm probably in it.
But it's like, yeah. It's more so like, it's not like I put a whole 3-minute fight of me fighting Bobby. It's more so like a
compilation.
It adds to the storyline, yeah. It's like it was like Bobby, Noah's in it.
Was the game where we were playing with Hitman against Yusano and Medic?
I couldn't even.
We were the last team alive. That was probably it.
Nah. It was one of the ones around Capital. Somewhere around Capital. And then there's one of Sanho. Like, I really do Sanho dirty. But, like, I can do Sanho dirty because we're really good friends. You know what I mean? Like, that would be the only reason why I would do him dirty like that. And I showed him it. I was like, dude, this, like, has to be part of the storyline. But it was pretty much, it's towards the end of the video, and I'm just like... it's like a really egotistical thing to say, like, it got to the point where I was just dominating your favorite content creators. It didn't matter. that's the vibe of the video. Because when I first downloaded Apex, I was terrible. Like, I was so, so bad. And that's why I feel like confident saying that I'm definitely one of the best, because I knew how bad I was. So seeing me progress and be able to kill all of the people in those like top five lists, like with ease and 1v3 them and stuff, like that's why I consider myself on top in terms of like skill and mechanics right now.
Bobby, do you want to show them that? I was looking through your old videos, yeah. And I found this just this just video that I don't think I've ever seen anyone else upload before. But it was just like I want to see if you can remember like the context of why you didn't.
Why didn't stream Rules of Survival today? Oh my god!
Because all your other content was, you were doing like daily streams. And I was just checking through that. And I was like, that's a good one. Because most of my videos like that, they're deleted, they're privated. So I want to see if you can just remember that like that context. Or not? Or is this just?
Yeah, I can remember. Like back then, I just streamed every day. Like, and I was streaming, I would say 6 hours a day, and it was on the main channel too. So if I didn't stream, I would just be like, "Yeah, screw it. I'll just post this video." Say like, it was before I really understood YouTube to a point where I knew how YouTube worked. I was just kind of playing to play. But once I understood how YouTube worked, like I wouldn't upload something like that now. I might upload like a why I quit COD Mobile video. You know, that
was it's a real clickbait.
Yeah.
Get him on the edge of the seat.
Yeah. But that was just me, like, informing my viewers that, yo, I wasn't streaming today, and I don't remember what the reason was. Could have been my internet connection, something like that, but...
Oh, okay.
An information.
Because I just didn't know if it was, like, something crazy happened, or you just were like, FYI, guys, can't stream today. So...
No.
I think Ducky and I were talking about this the other day, and you are the only person on the mobile game side of things that took greatness in esports and really converted it into a successful content brand. I feel like there are a lot of people out there that have really excelled in mobile esports in different games. Maybe with the exception, I guess I'm thinking more on the shooter side of thing than anyone else, but you look at like the top Fortnite mobile pros back in the day, none of them really do content anymore. Top Rules of Survival pros. You got Hawks, but he was honestly more of just his content was separate from him being a pro player. His pro player-ness, his gameplay or whatever, wasn't the reason that he blew up.
Yeah.
What would be your word of advice for pro players who want to set themselves up long-term to not only be good at what they do, but also to build a brand that can maybe someday convert into them doing content or something else like that?
Well, it depends what kind of a pro they are, because there can be like three different types of pros. There's like the average pro, which is still a pro, like you're a pro player, like you're great. And then there's the 1% pro that is considered like one of the best players in the game. Like they might be like a top 50 player. And then there's the guys that like live and breathe this, you know, that's all they care about. That's all we want to do. And if you're one of those guys, like I previously was in the past, where I would just play all day, like there was nothing else in my life, didn't care about, like I would not even talk to my family. I would live in the same house with my family. I wouldn't talk to them. It would go like probably weeks that I would not even talk to my family. Like that's how serious it got, where I was just playing all day, every day. And if you're one of those guys, YouTube will be simple if you just apply the same, I don't want to say work ethic, because it's not even work ethic. Like, just apply the same mindset of, I need to be the best, I need to be the best, I need to be the best. That's all you're thinking about, is being the best, the best, the best, the best. If you just apply the same mindset to YouTube, it should come. Like, that's all I did, was just, okay, let's go into content creation again. How do I do this? How do I become the best? How do I make this better? How do I do it? Let's improve 1% every day. That's 365% a year, but it's compound interest as well of how much your percent is improving. So it's way more than 365% anyway. And you just take the mindset of being the best player to being the best creator, and you'll create a really, really good brand for sure, 100%. Like, it's all just about taking one thing that you learned from a different area of your life and taking it in to another area, at least in my opinion.
Do you think, when it comes to building a brand, I think something that I've struggled with a lot, trying to get, like, there were so many talented Fortnite mobile players, and, you know, they had, like, the most earnings in the world, and they would, you know, cut up these like 3-4 minute videos and just upload them to YouTube like once every 2 weeks. And I was like, bro, you can do so much more. You can apply yourself so much more. And there was one thing in common, though, that these Fortnite mobile players never did face reveals. They never brought themselves outside of the game. They were always limited to just their gameplay and what they were able to do. They never threw their personalities in them. They never threw their commentaries in them. So I feel like some pro players might take that advice and then just, you know, cut up scrim gameplay and run with, like, which I guess can work. Yeah. But dude, I was pretty much face cam my entire career. And I think going back looking at your old stuff, you were too. So I'm not sure if you think, I'm not as much in like the pro scene and the pro content and consuming that, but I wonder if you think face revealing and building a brand around yourself and your gameplay at the same time and your capabilities than just saying, all I bring to the table is my gameplay. Because I feel like long term, if that game dies, then it's a lot harder to transition because you'll be new to the game, you'll be fresh, your mechanics will be off. So I'm not sure if you've seen any pro players face reveal and then see some success, or if it's been like, it doesn't really matter in the pro scene.
Yeah, if like if your main content is only being a pro, then I don't think face cam is really needed. But like we said, if you're actually trying to be a content creator and be as successful and build the brand, face revealing's pretty much like it's a no-brainer. Like that, you should be doing that without a doubt. I remember back in Rules of Survival, like you're saying, like posting clips. That's all I did in Rules of Survival when I was a pro, was post clips. And that's, you're still stuck in that mindset of being the best player. Like all you're posting is the best content, like in terms of skill. That's all you care about, is posting the best, proving yourself as the best player. I remember back in Rules of Survival, I would post up YouTube comments of people just calling me the best player. That's all I cared about. All I cared about was being the best. Didn't care about the YouTube algorithm. Didn't care about the clickbait, the thumbnail, the video length. Just make it sure that the clips that I'm posting are the best. So the people who do that are still stuck in like the, I need to be the number one player in the world. They haven't transitioned into the, I need to be the best content creator in the world. Because even nowadays, like I post me feeling, I post me smashing my iPad. Like I post all the stuff that it would formerly, my former self would see as like, why the are you posting that? People are not going to think you're good. This is terrible. Don't do this. Like, that was my mindset back when I was a pro. Like, if I posted me playing bad, like, I need to be the best player. Like, that would hurt my soul to post me getting fried or to post me playing bad. But in order to be the best content creator possible, I need to create that storyline. People need to understand that I have these different parts of my life where, like, something might happen and I'll play bad and then that'll basically hurt me towards the start of the video, like in the Apex one that I've got coming out. The start of it is me playing really terrible and me talking about how I wasn't used to going on to a new game and playing awful. I was kind of used to going on to a new game and, you know, kind of dominating it. So that's definitely the clip stuff. They're stuck in the, I need to be the best player. That's all they care about. That they're not actually being a content creator. They're posting content.
They're just kind of flexing on everyone.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's like their ego.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's all like ego-based. I need to prove myself as the glorified champion of this game. That's all they care about. They're not actually thinking in the content creator mindset, or they're not thinking about being the best content creator. They just want to be considered the best player.
All right.
So yeah, BSCAM is like, if you actually want to be the best content creator, BSCAM is
100%.
You got to use it.
Obviously, you for a little while, you had a girlfriend. You don't have a girlfriend anymore. What do you feel like you either learned from that about being in a relationship while being a content creator, or is there something about being a content creator that you feel might be incompatible maybe with what your goals are right now, or anything else like that?
For me personally, I view where I am now as the start. And if I want to get to the places that I want to be at, having a girlfriend and investing time into a relationship, it just does not seem like something I should be doing if I want to strive for like greatness in the scene and really pursue passions down the road. So as much as I liked Kiva, like she's great, I still talk to her, and sometimes I do see her from time to time. It's not like we broke off in this terrible way, like, oh my god, I hate you, like, I can't, like, she knew from the start, I told her from the start of the relationship, look, like, my number one priority is, and probably forever will be, at least until I'm, like, 35 or something, be content creation or pursuing a purpose of some form or fashion. She knew that from the start, and then it just got to the point where I kind of still, like, she's staying over 3 days a week, like, 3 days a week, that's nearly half my week is somebody is by my side, and I was just not vibing with it. I like to be kind of a lone wolf, and I like living alone. I love not having distractions or anything like that, so I knew once it got to that point, and with the release of Apex right around the corner and a fresh start, like a new chapter to the life, it was time to kind of ruffle things out and let Kiva go. But she's great. I told her, she, like, as far as a girlfriend goes, and a first girlfriend, couldn't have asked for a better girl to come into my life, for sure. She was definitely super selfless, and that's why we still keep up with each other to this day, yeah. But for sure, I want to be single. I want to be on the grind. Like, it's hard to explain to somebody who's not in the same mindset as you. Like, this is a really weird, this is going to come out as toxically masculine, but it wasn't my parents that taught me this. I don't know where I got this from, but men are not inherently born with value. They have to prove and build their value. And I feel like I want to build so much stuff, and content creation in gaming itself is just the start. Like, I feel like there's a lot to come even down the road outside of content creation. And yeah, just like having a girl and spending so much time in a relationship is not gonna help me get there whatsoever. So content creation and then a purpose-driven mindset, I gotta be on the single game, single Pringle for sure.
All right, this will be my last question, then Ducky, if you got any last questions, feel free to throw them out. Just in that same vein, what do you feel like your end goal is? So obviously right now you want to grind content, you want to be number one, but you talked about things beyond video games. What is your end goal?
My end goal, at least in 2020, was to show people that they could live a life where it didn't matter what people said to them, as long as they find a passion in something and they find it purposeful, like, they could do that. Like, that's the kind of I guess the slogan that I wanted people to realize when they watched my videos. Like, I was just a kid that, like, sold sweets in school to buy an iPad so that they could make videos gaming, and their parents took away all their stuff so they had to switch to mobile. Like, I was that kid that, you know, everyone in their life was saying, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, like, this is not allowed. And teachers, like, kicking me out of class and stuff because I was playing Clash at the back. Because I find it meaningful is, like, no matter what came my way, I always find passion in gaming. And I also kind of knew that no matter what, if you give 100% to gaming, it could get you somewhere just out of, like, previous past people were doing it. Like KSI, for example, started on gaming or whatever. So I find, like, waking up every day, it got me out of bed, like, knowing, okay, I'm gonna make a video today, and at the end of the video, like, people are gonna understand, or at least at the end of the stream, people are gonna understand, like, I did this. And I find passion in it, and I find it purposeful for me. So hopefully people can find something purposeful for them through seeing me do it. And that was kind of like the vision that I had. Today, I guess I still stand by that. I'm not sure how to show it to people, though. I feel like nowadays it will come up as, like, it's hard to connect with somebody who says something like that when they already have 2.5 million subscribers or whatever. So when people hear me saying that and they haven't been here for the journey, it will come off as bad. But that I would still stand by that. And I hope that I can go back to my ways of 2020 and trying to talk to people on stream and giving them advice on how they can pursue something that they're passionate about. I still talk to people on Discord about it to this day, like, just going after what they want. As far as my goals and where I see myself, at least for the money side of things, like, because that's seen as, like, the thing that success is tied to the most. Like, life success is always seen as, like, money gains and stuff, which I don't necessarily agree with. But in order to handle the money and grow the YouTube empire, I'm pretty heavy in crypto. So the plan is, like, I've learned a lot in this past month, I actually make more money off crypto by a lot than I do off YouTube, even with my COD deal or whatever. So the plan is to make so much money off crypto that I can invest back into the channel and be able to make wilder and wilder projects. I'm not sure if I'll move out of gaming. And then I really like cars, so I played with the idea of making Supercell videos for the Clips channel, but I'm just going to make car content instead.
What kind of cars? You got any new on the way?
No, I have a plan for this. I wrote it down the whiteboard up in my room. So there's a whole strategy behind it. Basically, need to hire a videographer. I already got that down, got the videographer. Needed to hire an editor, got that down as well. And the first video is basically talking about my Tesla Model 3, which I have outside right now. It's black. It's the performance one. And I'm going to make a storyline video around me when I was 16, 17 years old and Elon Musk held this press conference talking about these new vehicles that were coming out. And as soon as I seen the Tesla, I was like, I need that car. So I'm going to develop a whole storyline about how I had, like, at this point, I had no money, no subs, but create this whole storyline about how I always wanted a Tesla, and it's all going to wrap full circle when I get the Tesla. It's going to be like fully cinematic videography in it. Like, it's going to be really high production, like super high quality. I'm going to upload that video and I'm going to go around to all these dealerships and say, listen, give me the car for a couple days. I'll create a video with this car. Shout out like your dealership, and that'll be it. Like, you benefit from this. I benefit from this. I'm just going to go run and get loads of different cars to record with, like, any cars that I like.
So, and like, also, like Doug DeMuro, like, where he just, like, reviews cars. But he reviews them. You're thinking more of, like, a storyline aspect? Because that was where I was going. Like, my, like, last question would be, like, you can continue to pursue, like, to be the best in every new game that comes out.
Yeah.
But, like, there's going to have to be a point where a new game comes out and you're like, that's it. Like, I'm not grinding that one. Like, I mean, you said like 35 and when you were speaking a minute ago. So it's like, I don't, like, it seems like you have no point, like, you know, no plan in slowing down anytime soon. And so is that just your gameplay? Especially like this year for mobile gaming is going to be life changing for so many people. Yeah, and so it seems like your plan is still for the next like year or two to pursue being the best in as many games as you can be. But do you want to try to diversify your content, move into IRL? Like you mentioned KSI, he's doesn't game anymore, but all the sidemen have built that brand to, that's the end goal for any YouTuber, is wherever you start, be able to upload whatever content you want to. And then, And just have people support you for that. So I don't. It sounds like you got a whiteboard set up. You got the little roadmaps.
Yeah, I do. It's like a flowchart the whole way down. It shows exactly how I'm gonna create the first video and then the main plan for the whole card channel. I also have a thing for Apex, and then the other side of the whiteboard, I just have all these different thought processes behind the plan of what I'm gonna do for the future. But as far as like, keep it on the gaming grind, I'll probably just keep grinding games until my body gives out. And then as soon as my body gives out, I will probably go to Colombia, get some stem cells. If that fixes it, then I'll come back. If it doesn't fix it, then I'll be like, yep, there it is. I'm retiring. Like, that's it. It's done.
Gosh. So it's not even like health over wealth. You're willing to put your health on the line to just pursue your goals to be the best of what you can be. Is that...
Yeah, like, what else am I going to do? Like, I don't...
Yeah, it's fair.
Like, what else in life? I don't like anything else. There's a couple of things I like, and it's gaming. I love cars. Like, what else is there? You know, there's not really much else there, so I might as well keep pursuing what I'm passionate about until it turns detrimental to my health. I guess it's terrible to say that, but I'm banking on those stem cells, that's for sure. Like, I've researched this. I've like heavily researched into this. But yeah, I wouldn't say the card channel is like a backup, but it's definitely a thing that I will be able to do if it gets to the point where I can't sit down hunchback all day and play games. And it's also something that I really enjoy cars. Like, I think cars are awesome. And it was definitely Teslas that reinvigorated my love for cars, which is obviously why I'm gonna do it. For sure. I have a lot of stuff planned for that. I swear it's going to make it. Like, I'm 100% confident that I am going to have, like, a successful Akari YouTube channel. I'm going to catch all these people that I've watched in the past. It's not going to be like Doug DeMuro, though. Not, it's not going to be like, I'm telling you, man,
I just meant in the way that he goes out to dealerships, gets cars and reviews, like, that's how he's able to leverage his following to get, like, $2 million cars.
Yeah. And from my personal experience, like, I'm seeing these car YouTubers, and they have, like, 200K subs, and they'll get flown out to, like, Lamborghini launches. They have 200,000, like, 200,000 subscribers, and they're getting flown out, and they get to drive the new Aston Martins, they get to drive the new Lamborghinis, the Ferraris, the BMWs, the Mercedes, all of this stuff. And I think, like, bro, 200,000 subscribers, and you get to have access to any car brand, any car that you want, maybe with the, not the inclusion of maybe, like, a Bugatti or a Koenigsegg or anything like that, but definitely, like, the mainstream brands, the stuff that, like, everyone kind of knows, like, they just get flown out for having maybe 150, 200K, and I know that I can get that.
That's just a shout out on the main channel, and you're...
Yeah.
For sure. And chilling. Like, I'll be moving my clips channel to that channel anyway, and it already has 100K, so I can come out the gates, like, booming, like this, like, all the car guys are like, who the f- is this guy? He's a young gun. Like, instead of what I feel like now, when I look at, like, Apex now, I'm thinking of, like, oh my god, all these kids are on my coattails, you know what I mean? Like, it's all these random 17-year-olds are coming for me, man! Whereas I would be in that position going after the car guys. But yeah, bro,
it's fun
I'm
being the
excited.
Underdog.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah, for sure. And I will have that underdog mentality again, which is what I had coming into COD Mobile. Like, I yearned to prove myself. Like, I needed, like, I wanted it so bad. Whereas in Rules of Survival, I just couldn't get it because Noah was there and he played on PC. How am I going to compete when he had, like, a longer render distance than me? Like, I couldn't get those crazy, like, cross-map kills because my device just did not render as much as his did. And then by the time the pro scene came out, the game was already dead, so it wasn't really much to do. So, yeah, really yearning to prove myself again, hopefully in the car community, which I'm super, like, excited about. Also, CPM in car videos, like, it goes up, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, for sure.
All right.
It's awesome.
Well, it was good having you on. Thanks for being our first guest on the Two Thumbs Up podcast. Can we get a two thumbs up for all the thumbnails we're going to do? You also like he like pointed at a bunch of directions. Yeah, for all the clips that we're gonna throw up. Like,
nice.
Oh my gosh!
Wow, that just made our job 50 times easier.
Oh my gosh! Yep.
There we go. Awesome. Lifetime supply.
Exactly.
I feel like you got all of your plugs in as well, as we now know every piece of content that you're going to be releasing over the next 3 years. So appreciate you coming on, Ducky. Any final comments?
No, it was great hearing, like, a little inside mentality to, you know, Pioneer Mobile. So I'll be on the lookout, make sure I don't get clapped in Apex, and that's my goal for the next year, is don't die to you in videos.
We'll probably never, like, see each other again because I'll be on EU.
Yeah, true. We'll be in a new server, so we'll be safe.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a little bit sad about that, to be honest. It was really fun going against, like, everybody from every server in the beta.
I agree. But that was a ton of fun. It was so crazy to just see everyone there.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was...
The first day that rank drop, it was just absolutely ridiculous because every single lobby was all YouTubers. It was so cool.
Yeah, I agree. It was definitely... First week of Apex will probably be one of my highlights in mobile in general. Yep. It was just so, so fun for sure.
All right. Well, thank you to everybody that watched or listened or whatever you did on whatever platform. Let us know down in the comments if you're over on YouTube who you want to see on the podcast next. But that's going to wrap things up. Thank you guys for watching. Make sure to subscribe, follow, or whatever it is. And we will see you guys in the next one.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.